the life of the mu'min, of the believer, is in actual fact a life of caution, being careful. All year, all life long, the life of the mu'min is, you can compare it to the example of an individual is going along a path, and in all four directions surrounding that person there are nettles and thorns and sharp objects, and through that, all of those hurdles around him, there's a path that he can go through to get out. So with extreme caution, that individual will walk along that path so that he doesn't get cut or scratched or affected by the sharp objects. He'll be extremely cautious. He'll look to the left, to the right. He'll have to maybe climb over something, clamber over something, go under something. He'll be careful. I don't want the thorn, the prickly objects to grab hold of my clothes or tear my clothes or get cut. I get cut. The pious elders have stated that the mu'min's life is very similar to that. If somebody can understand, if we can only understand. Now, all life long I need to live my life with caution. I need to be careful that nothing should occur in my life. I shouldn't do something that leads to Allah being unhappy with me. When this awareness is created within an insan and he gets that much aql, awareness, then his life is made in this dunya and the akhirah is also made. SubhanAllah. So this is what we need to create within ourselves. And then a very first class nice life of caution will result. Now we need to think ourselves that our situation is maybe hard, challenging, severe, we could say. When the Quran, Allah has said, Sari'ul Hisab. This is a very great statement by Allah. Sari'ul Hisab. Hisab, accounting, and very quickly, Allah Ta'ala says, and Allah is the one who will account. Allah will be the judge. He will hear the case. So this is something we need to think about. We need to think about. Sari, Allah says, no time frame. Can happen any time. Now, evening, tomorrow morning, in the night. Could happen any time, and there'll be Hisab. Reckoning, accounting. We'll have to answer questions. Many people here are businessmen. They work or do something or the other. And they work in such places where the example fits. So I'd like to ask a question. If a letter comes from the VAT department, they check, you know, VAT, is it incumbent on a person? How much is being paid? Is it due? We're coming tomorrow to check your accounts. Please be ready. Now, being a businessman, tell me, how will you feel? What will be the emotion? Will you not run around here and there all night long? Yeah? If you're a businessman, then you'll understand what I'm saying. You'll phone to the accountant, you'll phone to another person. They've only given you 2 days' notice. And those 2 days will feel like to you as if it's tomorrow. Suddenly coming. 2 days gap left, remaining. And then get this ready, get that ready. They could maybe ask me this, they could ask me that. And where are these documents? Where are these records? You didn't bring this bank statement, etc. Does this happen or not? And the 2 days will pass. It's as if the person stood in front of the noose. He's about to be hanged. As if he's going to be taken away from this world. And he doesn't eat or drink. He's upset. I don't know. If he sees that fire, what will he say? If they do hisab of this, they'll now get stuck. If they ask me a question here, then what will be the fine? Yes, what will be the let off? Very difficult. The 2 days pass, very difficult. And what is it? A government officer is coming to go through your accounts, verify and check. Allahu Akbar, Rabbi Khaliq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, I am going to, Sari'ul Hisab, I'm going to account, do your accounts. Your reckoning is going to come. Are we worried? Maybe you are worried, you are pious people, but a person like me, does he think? No. So we may be scared of the VAT official, inspector, but it's nothing. But Allah says, I'm your Rabb, I'm about to take your hisab. Then have we ever seen our files? Not one file, we've got various files. This is fasting, Ramadan will come, I'll do this, then I'll do Hajj, and then in this, and I've got this file, and I'll be successful, and I've got my salah. Very extreme and severe hisab will take place with Allah when we go to Allah. Why? What am I saying will be severe and challenging? Because Allah Ta'ala has made many witnesses who are watching us, seeing us, looking. There's no need to get a third party witness. Say subhanallah. Allah will say, I've got so many witnesses who will testify, who can see. Just look at this finger, Allah will say. Your finger will testify. Tell me. And the finger will say, yes, he was a good man. He always used to do dhikr. And he used to use this finger for dhikr. And he used to hold a tasbih, the beads, and remember you, Allah. And Allah will say, okay, you've passed. Your witnesses testify positive for you. Okay, eyes, tell us, was this man good? No, no, Allah, he was wretched. He showed others that he was pious and upright, and he was famous that he prays salah, etc. But I'll tell you, the eyes will say that, what did he do, Allah? I'll tell you. So what, can you stop your eyes at that time? You say, it's my eyes and you're testifying against me? So if the hisab is severe and strong, challenging, tell me, me and you, and we are like animals now, we don't have a clue apart from eating, drinking, sleeping, and a few words. Oh, I'm doing something. I'm practicing, aren't I? Why are you saying this to me? But such severe adab, punishment. And when we get grabbed in the hereafter, we'll be grabbed firmly. We'll be shaken. There'll be nobody to represent us, nobody to ask or answer, no sifarish. You know sifarish? Nobody to intercede for you, to influence you, no corruption. We should listen carefully to what I'm saying. We should be grateful to Allah. Allah's got a mercy. He's given us these majalis. At least we're hearing, listening, say subhanallah. That hundreds of thousands of people are not listening. Somebody's busy with a minister department. Someone's in politics. Somebody's talking about leadership. Allah, we are hundreds of thousands of times happy over that you are allowing us to listen to these words. And Allah's making us listen for this reason. For this reason. That your deed records, your book of deeds is going to close soon, get sealed. Sariul Hisab is going to happen very soon. Allah says, from now start to audit your accounts. Check your accounts. Look over your accounts. Don't delay. Allah says, I'm telling you. Allah says, you know, for example, as I said before, I speak what is correct and for our benefit, and I don't prepare, it's not a speech or a lecture. This is how my day passes, this fakir. I think, you know, we're going to get together in the evening. It's Allah's karam, extreme karam and mercy and blessings that I just, after salah, I ask Allah, do dua, that Allah, I'm not worthy, but please put some thoughts into my mind so I can discuss positively. So that's the contact with Allah, and mashallah, you have the enjoyment as a result of that. Subhanallah. So that's why I'm stuck in during the day. Allah, give me some success so that I can speak good and speak good to myself, remind myself, and Allah gathers pious people like you, allows me to attend so I can benefit myself. So don't think this is something, you think this is a lecture, a speech, or a talk? You think I'm giving a bayan? It's not bayan, no. Don't they pierce the heart, what I'm saying? Don't they pinch the heart? Tell me the truth, do they? Don't they? Yes, they go hard, they go right onto the heart. They pierce the heart, don't they? The words that we discuss and listen to. Think about it. We're sitting here, we're thinking we're not going to be accounted for. We know hisab's going to take place. We're free. Allah says, sari'ul hisab. I'm going to ask you questions, my servant. And it will be severe questioning, severe reckoning. Allah talk about it. Allah says that the khair and shar, good and bad, equivalent to an atom's particle. I'll bring it out and I'll remind you. And he will say, Allah, did I do this good deed? Allah will say, yes, you did. And I liked it. I liked it so much that I included it in your deeds, good deeds. And when I included it, then I increased it. Now look at your reward. This is your reward. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. What will be our situation, Mawlana Sahib, at that time? Allah, we're so grateful you made us do this good deed. We never even thought, give it a second thought. I didn't even consider it was a good deed. Allah will say, your forgiveness is due to this good deed. This good deed that you didn't even consider. Remember in the Quran I said that even an atom's particle of a good deed, I will bring it forward on the Day of Judgment. That maybe with sincerity you did that action in your life and Allah Ta'ala accepted it and selected it and chose it. And Allah says, then I multiply it. So brothers, we shouldn't leave good deeds in no way. No way or form. Never consider a good deed as a small deed or insignificant. This is the luggage for our forgiveness. But we should be ready. What are we doing for hisab? For our hisab. So brothers, for hisab, positive, there's one element we need to have and grab hold of. Allah said, I'm sending my Nabi, my messenger to you, my prophet. He's my special prophet. And you are the special ummah, the special nation of this special Nabi. And he's coming with a schedule, a program, a schedule of life. And pay attention, I'm giving him a few items of advice and I'm giving him some guidance and direction for you, O mankind. Listen to him carefully, attentively, wholly. First of all, my Nabi comes, then he will present the Quran to you. Subhanallah. Yatlu alayhi, Allah says. that he will present the Quran for you. Nobody else will read it. He will read it to you himself. Be careful. And be careful with regards to the Quran. Allah says, my servants, don't leave this Quran. I'm sending this special gift with my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for you. No other Nabi got this kitab, such a kitab. Allah says, I'm giving this to my Nabi, the greatest Nabi. The other thing I'm giving to my Nabi is that he'll continue to purify you all the time. Purify you. So he will revive the factor of purification in your life. This dirty dunya that we're in, and we think we're going to go from here and go into Jahannam. Or does that mean that there's no washing, purifying, cleansing? For example, you're in a dirty room, dirty environment, dirty water, pollution, the air is polluted. But Allah Ta'ala has prepared the cleansing agents for that. So Allah says, I've prepared the cleansing agent for the dunya that contaminates you, that on every word of his you listen, you adhere, and you purify yourself continuously. So keep a link with him. Don't leave him, my Nabi. Yes, take the kitab that I gave to him and embrace that kitab. Read it. If you can't read it, then at least keep looking at the kitab, the book. I went into a house and I was surprised. He said, my child is there. I said, give me the Quran. And there was no Quran. And it was a Muslim's house. Until I couldn't believe until today. I said, why is it taking long? Bring the Quran so I can recite the Quran. Here, he said, Quran, various Ramadans may have passed, months and years, and we fight at the front of the masjid, the first row. Give me space. But we don't have the Kalam Allah in our home, in our homes. And that point that I remembered is that this is the biggest point here, is that Allah's Kalam, and it's not in the chest of the mu'min. Where's this point come from? How can it be that the chest is empty, the heart is empty, the mu'min? He's a mu'min, he doesn't have Quran in his heart. How can this be? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it lazim that your salah cannot be complete unless you recite one verse from the Quran. It's a must. So the Quran, the connection with the people of Iman is this, that Allah said first and foremost, the Mahabib who's coming, I've given him things to share with you, to give to you. The first thing I've given to him is what? Mawlana sahib, yatulu alayhi ayati, Allah says. The Quran, he will give you the Quran, he'll read the Quran, he'll recite the Quran, tilawat of Quran, recitation. And he will allow the certainty of the Quran to come into your heart, isn't it? So a person reads the Quran, he's enjoying the reading, and the person who's listening is also enjoying, and it happens sometimes, Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. The person's reading Quran beautifully, it's not affecting his heart, but the person who's listening, from his eyes the tears are flowing. And they ask him, why are you crying? He says, I've got a stomachache. He doesn't know that he's recited Quran beautifully, and the other person's crying. Allahu Akbar. So this is where the hearts are meeting and embracing. These are the points between the hearts, subhanAllah. The person whose heart is connected to Allah, he doesn't see where, how. He says that, I'm going to recite, be ready. Don't look who's reciting, who's reading. You be prepared, the Quran's coming, and just listen attentively. Subhanallah, when he listens, then he enjoys the beautiful, melodious Quran. He doesn't know what was recited, which verse, which surah. By chance, the ashik, when he stood behind the person reciting, say, subhanAllah, I'm telling you something here. It happens sometimes that these are words of muhabbat, love. I'm not trying to demonstrate piety or elevation. I'm just talking about the connection with Allah. A person like me who has got no level, no status, a normal person, then what, imagine the walis of Allah, how great they are. That it used to happen in Madinatul Munawwara in Makkah, the imam would come and the talawah, if it's liked, then there'd be special verses that were preferred. Everyone likes a certain shaykh and a certain recitation. I said, Allah, I feel like a fajr time today, Surah Rahman, please let me hear this today. I'm telling you the truth. And how Allah Ta'ala listened so quickly and had yaqeen, soon as I made the knee, Ar-Rahman started the recitation, Allahu Akbar. Tell me, then imagine the feeling and the emotion at that time, that Allah, I asked you in Madinatul Manawwara with this imam, that I like this imam, I like his tilawah, his recitation. Yes, there's a program in the heart, the person makes an intention, and puts a request forward to Allah. Don't we ask Allah for everything? Isn't it? So ask this as well to Allah, that Allah will allow you to hear the Quran. Allah, I want to hear it the way I like it. I've come from so far, I'm stood here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid I'm stood in, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and look at the environment and the nur, and then please let me hear that Quran which I like, Allah. Subhanallah. Not once, various times this happened with me. And then it became continuous. That whatever I wanted to hear, I swear by Allah, that verse would come. Became a habit. The habit came. Allah Ta'ala bestows, gives. So these are such points. The nisbat, the connection of a mu'min with the Quran is great. There's no need to say, like as requested. Yatul Ali, Allah says the Quran is coming. And for every mu'min, mu'mina, for every believer, man and woman, the Quran should be in the heart. We say, oh, he's become a Hafiz. Even if a person, this a person is not a Hafiz, that's a surprise. If a person is not is a Hafiz, that's not a surprise. Today, our link with the Quran is weak. We say, oh, Mubarak, let's enjoy and celebrate. This is a common thing, regular thing. This is the shan. Yes, that the heart should be filled with the Quran and recitation. However much you know, you should recite Surah Yasin, Muzammil, Surah Ar-Rahman, beautiful verses and surahs. Take hold of any surah verse if you can't remember the whole Quran. But at least there should be some Quran in the heart. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The next point, Allah's Nabi. Allah said, the second thing I'm giving, have a link with this, my brothers. This is a very valuable gift that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to us, that Allah Ta'ala sent. And what will this do to us? It will make us pure and clean. It will cleanse us. And have a link with this. Allah says it will purify you. Every deed and action, every sunnah that you practice, there will be the effect of this action. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. That when, whichever sunnah you do amal on, at that same time your heart will be purified and it will rub off onto the sunnah action. You have experience of this, suddenly sukoon, and a person will be at peace. You stand and drinking water. No. This is the sunnah. Rasulullah SAW says, sit down and drink water. Sit down, say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, and straight away nur will come into your life. Subhanallah. This is the promise of Allah, that this is something that will purify you. Now until Qiyamah, that we see here that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was present that time, and he was purifying the Sahaba, and that's it, was it? Now say Subhanallah. Was it just the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu who were being purified? How can he purify us? Allah said he will leave such an item with you that until Qiyamah you will be purified. His actions, his ada, and he was there that time, the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions radiallahu anhum saw that, yes, but he left his ways, his sunnah, his methodology, and if we grab hold of that, even now we'll be purified. Yuzakihim. So it's lazim, essential for us to be purified. This is the reason why the hisab, if something is lacking, there's a gap, what is that connected to? To what? Tazkiyah. We don't do tazkiyah. Yes, we never use the vacuum cleaner on the heart, and we never think that we need to purify ourselves, and the dirt accumulates and it gathers and it gathers. And so we'll say, oh no, the hisab, we'll have to present our record books, and the sins will be then. We'll have to account for every single sin, one by one. That's the reason why today we don't consider sin as sin. The sins, we don't consider them as a sin. One sin, I ask you, mashallah, you also are people of understanding and recognition. Now, for example, how can you praise Baytullah? Yes, it's praise beyond praise, Allah's home, isn't it? Allah's home, the Kaaba, Kaabatullah, Baytullah Sharif. That, can we praise it according to the right it has? No, we can't praise it enough. And do we know the adab of the Kaaba? That Allah Ta'ala says, doesn't matter where you stood in the world, you have to make niyyah that here's the Kaaba and I'm facing the Kaaba, and then your salah will be accepted. Imagine Allah Ta'ala's great, the effects that are coming, descending onto the Kaaba. The Kaaba's there, the four walls of the Kaaba, and after the Kaaba we have the courtyard, and then the masjid beyond that is land and seas. It doesn't matter. Allah said, doesn't matter where you are, you make the niyyah, you face towards the Kaaba, and the Kaaba's in front of you, then forget the distance. And this happens. Subhanallah. You will have to do sajda towards the Kaaba. Yes, you cannot bow your head, your face towards any direction. Yes, you have to look towards the Kaaba. Imagine great status and glory and the heights of the Kaaba. Allah has sworn that my Mahbub loved it. When he was leaving Makkah, he said, I would never leave you, O Makkah. When these are the final words, Rasulullah said before going on the Hijrah, that I would never leave you, O Makkah, but my people, they forced me to leave. Imagine the love Rasulullah meant for Makkah. The azmat, the greatness, how it was made, formed, manufactured, the story. Isn't it a great structure, the house of Allah? Can we think that a Muslim disrespects the Kaaba? Na'udhu Billah, says bad against the Kaaba, speaks bad about the Kaaba. Even the most sinful of individuals, can he ever disrespect, dishonor the Kaaba? Never. Nobody in his right mind, consciousness can do it. But can anyone disrespect the Kaaba? So much adab and manners and regard that even the tongue cannot move, the man not say something wrong, that I'm destroyed. I say to him, how can I dishonor and disregard the Kaaba? And this is the love we have. If someone says, Subhanallah, I was doing tawaf around the Kaaba, and Subhanallah, they rub their handkerchief on the Kaaba, they rub it on their forehead, their body, they kiss it, because this touched the Kaaba. This is the high regard and respect and honor of the Kaaba. Yes, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing tawaf, and with love, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked towards the Kaaba and spoke. This is the hadith of Abu Dawood Sharif. And think about this. I need to think, and we all need to think. Let's pay attention to this hadith. As the Prophet ﷺ was doing tawaf, he stopped and looked at the Kaaba and said a unique phrase, a unique statement. Subhanallah. Beautiful. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you are great, O Kaaba. You are great. You are so lofty in status. You are glorious. And your power is great. Your power is great. Obviously Rasulullah was praising the Kaaba. Great with azmat and greatness and power and glory and importance. But the status and honor of a Muslim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said at that time. A G point, remember, Allah said that you are everything, said Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But a mu'min's honor and respect and regard is greater than you, O Kaaba. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Remember this. How much is the level of the mu'min? Old, disheveled, torn clothes, his hair is grown, jahil, illiterate, doesn't know how to recite Quran, but he's a mu'min, by heart has the nisbat, the connection, that he has believed in Allah. Now Allah's marab, say subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Imagine, great point, to believe in Allah, to accept Allah. In comparison to that, person who doesn't believe in Allah, he's got everything in the world. All the luxuries, the comforts and the commodities, but that's nothing. Poor person living in a mud shack. He has nothing to his name. Extreme poverty, no money, no coins. But Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Kaaba, that person, that moment, his respect and honor is greater than the Kaaba. Respect him. Respect him, elevate him, and ask you a question. Sari'ul Hisab. And think about this now. That, can I give the Hisab for this, me and you? Can I pay the accounts, the deeds? Can I answer the questions? Allah Ta'ala will ask us. Allah will question us and ask us that when you knew that the Kaaba, you knew the respect of the Kaaba, Baytullah, but I told you that a mu'min's izzah, his respect is higher than this, greater than this, loftier than the Kaaba. So tell me, when you committed this sin, then what will be the punishment? What will be the punishment when you criticize somebody, when you swore at somebody, when you dishonored somebody, when you disrespected somebody, when you picked somebody up and shunned him and threw him away, when you said he's not capable, when you belittled that person, and in the world amongst the people, you made him sweat and cry when you said something bad or did something bad against somebody? Tell me. Yes, to say something bad, to disrespect, to criticize, to belittle someone, to dishonor someone, to consider somebody lowly, to not pay attention to someone, oh, he's poor, she's poor. Tell me the truth, in the environment, that country that you belong to, your background, that today the biggest complaint and issue we have is this issue. The who says will be forgiven? Me, you, all of us. Doesn't matter how many trips to Umrah you go, how many plane trips, but the basis of success is the basis Allah's given. The tawaf of the Kaaba, when we're going around it, when we're touching the Kaaba and kissing the Hajar al-Aswad, and when we stood in Multazam, then once we should think at that time that how many Muslims who are greater than this, how many of them have criticized or sworn at or oppressed or said, oh, get back, get away, who are you? Who are you to question me? Who are you to challenge me? Tell me, don't we do this? Various pious elders were sat down. There's a great true incident, which you can consider they were present. They were present together. And they were presenting their stories, that how did your heart change, how did you come towards the good pious elders. And they were just discussing the dunya. People in the world know that they are the walis, the sheikhs. And one breathed a deep breath. He said that I didn't meet anyone pious. A child changed my life. He said a child. A child was 3 years old or 4 years old. Allahu Akbar. They said, huh? They were surprised. How did the child change your life? He said, I left home and his shoes were there. Just like when you leave the home, your shoes are outside. He said it went to open the door at that time. And my niyyah wasn't this either. I didn't intend. And in the heart, I didn't have this intention. But suddenly this incident, it made me recognize and realize what is life. So as I was moving, I left the big shoes and I put shoes onto his small, my feet onto his small shoes and opened the door. That child said in a certain unique way, that you have put your feet on my shoes? Allahu Akbar. He said when he said that, then I felt at that time that I'm stood in the court of Allah and this child is stood in front of me and he's complaining to Allah. He's belittled me. Allah, don't forgive him. He said, I felt like that at that time. That I've oppressed that person, asserted his rights. And I felt it was such a big sin and crime that I've criticized or looked down at the child and his heart and his feeling. And the child said, you think I'm nothing? That you can put your feet onto my shoes and walk over them? And the child didn't have the understanding of such statements coming from his mouth. What is this in reality? When such an event occurs, then consider this a warning, from Allah, that put yourself together, pull yourself together and become a human being. And he said, if I didn't then become a proper human being, what would I have done after that? He said that the greatest ibadah was left after that for me. Subhanallah. That the biggest ibadah that was there for my life I've taken hold of is that never say anything wrong or do anything against a Muslim, a mu'min, somebody who's good. This is my ibadah, this is my daraja, my link, and this is why I've got a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers, do we have this in our lives? Are these factors in our lives? These qualities, are they? Every person has respect. Every human being, Allah says, doesn't matter if he's young, old, tall, short, man, woman, sister, women, folk, wife, whatever relationship you have with people, Allah says, every human being has azmat, has a greatness, has a status due to the iman, Allah says. And very important is this person close to me, Allah says. Very respectful, and you don't have a right to criticize that person, belittle that person, swear at that person, disrespect that person, say bad to that person. You don't have a right, Allah says. No way, you cannot belittle that person. Always you're disrespecting the person, dishonoring the person. This happens in our environments. That I remember one weak person, that from his eyes the tears were flowing, his beard was wet, and all he said was one thing, that today my malik, my employer, he disrespected me extremely in front of my sons. Allahu Akbar. And he is now in a very bad situation. Thousands of illnesses have hit that person who disrespected someone else. So these are the challenges in a person's life. These are the ibadat, the worship actions. Is this a small minor phrase that Allah has told us? This is the hadith of Abu Dawud. Another hadith I remember at this moment in time, that respect of a person, somebody's honor and respect. Now, interest isn't just this, that we take money and it accrues interest, or we pay the interest, the riba, put money in a bank. When you get a loan, he takes more, when he takes the money back. Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is not interest. Interest, riba, has various forms. And the worst form of interest, riba, one person who consumes riba, we've heard the hadith from the ulema, that it's as if you're doing zina, adultery with your mother 70 times over. Yes, so when we go to the bank, use the card, I'll pay eventually, I'll do this. To consume interest, to pay interest, to benefit from interest. We think there's benefit in the world, but Allah says, I hate this, I dislike this. So how can a mu'min like it? This is the point. When Allah Ta'ala has said, I dislike something, I don't like this, and has put a standard on that, then why do we start using our minds? If I do this, I can do this, and I learn more, and I'll get more, accrue more. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ فَاهِشَةً وَلَا تَقَرَّبُ فَاهِشَةً. Therefore we're being told, no, we say, oh, it's okay, do it this way, no difference make. Allah says, the question doesn't arise, don't even touch it, don't go towards it. Even if our hands and eyes are not with us at that time, doesn't matter. Follow the principles. This is being cautious. The example I gave to you in the beginning. Yes, sir, we should be saving ourselves, protecting ourselves from the thorns and the nettles so much that we shouldn't feel that, oh, I don't want it to prick me, I don't want it to hurt me. Subhanallah. Tell me. So interest, the worst form of interest, riba. If the normal interest to do zina with the mother 70 times is the punishment of riba, imagine the face of that person in the hereafter. What will he get? What will he have become? An animal or bird, may Allah Ta'ala forgive. How a person will be walking around in the hereafter, a person's face will change. And even here in the dunya, his face changes in reality. Why? Because there's no purification, no tazkiyah, no cleanliness. And as I said, the line, this branch of tazkiyah has been cancelled. First, there's no Quran, there's no tazkiyah. How will a person succeed? So when will a person think that interest is bad? No, we say the interest, it gives progression, interest, profit, advancement, and adab. When a person, you say, no, Allah doesn't give adab for this. Allah won't punish me for this. For example, and Allah Ta'ala doesn't punish him. Have you ever seen that person who consumes interest, that the angel comes and wakes that person up? Even the people praise Allah. Today, such a big hadith, so many hadith, that there's no result despite the hadith. So how do we become brave? How do we become those who practice properly? Tell me. So big hadith, great hadith, the person who doesn't pray salah in jama'ah in congregation, tell me. Whichever man doesn't pray in jama'ah, Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, I can remember his hadith, Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, his hadith said that the person who doesn't pray salah in congregation, jama'ah, he is jahannami, destined for hellfire. The person who doesn't pray salah, Allah's Nabi wants to put his house on fire. The Holy Prophet said, I want to put his house on fire. How can he dare? Person who doesn't have iman, who's going to Jahannam, who has no rahmah, no mercy, hadith says, then in that home, what will happen? There'll be darkness. You can put sofas, decorations, TV, music systems, nice curtains, everything you'll see. But in reality, that's not there. You will not see it. And there'll be waiting, and there'll be waiting. That, for example, oh, we'll say there's no problem in my life. I've got no bad fortune or problems. In the home where there's immodesty, where women will walk around without parda, where they're not as a parda, there are hadith about the consequences. Are they not there? The punishments, or we walk around big-headed. Oh no, in our home, our sisters and mothers, they're from beauty parlors, they come and they're not covered properly, etc. So don't think that if, for example, you've consumed interest and you're not a cat or a dog or a swine, Allah says in the Quran, you've become that already. The adab has already come. So the worst example, the worst punishment, that if you do the sin with riba once, is you get the punishment of doing zina 70 times with the mother. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is the worst form and image of sood, riba, interest. The worst is that you dishonor, discredit, and look down at a Muslim. You disrespect him, you swear at him, you dishonor him, and you belittle him in front of others. You swear at him in front of others. You criticize him, put him down, make him zaleel and wretched. No, a Muslim cannot be like this. Rather, a Muslim is what? That it doesn't matter how much a person, for example, is wretched and has problems, put the veil in front of him, shield him. You do that today, Allah will shield you and veil, put the veil between your sins tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. Brothers, why do we go to sleep and not remember this? We are always out to put someone down. Always our mother, our sisters, our daughters, our aunties, etc. We are angry, she used to do this, she did that, my son used to do this and that. That we don't even leave our own, we don't leave our relatives, our mother. Allah says that with the strangers you should be merciful and you should hide their defects. Hide the defects. So this is deen, my brothers. This is the what we call deen, the way of life. If we have this deen, then mashallah your hajj is good, your salah is good, and mashallah your Ramadan is good. Beautiful point somebody made, and somebody was saying, I think I was listening nearby, and an El Pais Elder was walking ahead, and mashallah he's linked to the Tabligh Jamaat, the good Pais Elder, and somebody asked him a question, Ramadan's coming again, a good answer, and I wrote this on my heart. He said that Ramadan's coming. How many times you've asked me, is Ramadan coming, Ramadan coming? But in which Ramadan did you prepare for death? Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. I said, Mawlana, come, shake my hand, you've made me happy, and I will prepare this year for Ramadan properly, completely, inshallah. So this has become a story in our lives, we're habitual, and it's become tradition, we'll call him, we'll do this, and Ramadan we'll call him, we'll listen to his recitation, this enjoyment, that person's coming. That this is not something to celebrate, commemorate, to make noise about. How many people change, tell me, that a Thursday night in which we are sitting, is this Thursday night for wasting time and drama? Look, why is Allah Ta'ala elevated this night, the night of Jummah? Why is it special? Why is Jahannam at this time being called? Why do Amal after Maghrib increase? Why have the Amal today increased 70 times over reward? When you do Tasbih until Maghrib tomorrow, Jummah, your record will increase. Every Nafil action, the Thawab will increase. There's a reason for this. The one reason is this, that Allah Ta'ala says, so that you can take hold, avail the opportunity, and on this night of Jummah, in your life, improve your life, change your life for the better. And how should we change it? Oh, this person sitting, come, have a bit of courage, put your hand into the hand of the teacher and do tawbah, repent, and your life will improve. Allah says in the Quran, Subhanallah, that my Nabi has come, and take hold of his hand and do tawbah and improve yourself. Thursday night's come, the gathering's here. Allah says, I've sent you to the gathering, I've made you hear the discussion points, you've learned the lesson for today. If you sat there stubborn, you'll stay stubborn. Person wants to do tawbah, extend your hand, take hold of the hand of the sheikh, and I put my hand into your hand so that I can go and improve my life after this Thursday night, after this night of Jummah. Then we'll realize that the angel will say, Allah, a man came and he improved, he changed his life. Subhanallah. So I'm not holding a drama session or telling you stories. This is real life. Is anyone who wants to improve today, change on the night of Friday? Is anyone who wants to improve and repent from his sins and promise to Allah he'll leave haram? And he says, Allah, I destroyed my life. Today I had beautiful points. Such a deep discussion we've heard. Such a deep discussion I had today. The maqam is so high, so great. The Quran has revealed the whole verse about this. That there will be a place in Jahannam, a layer of hellfire. I won't recite the whole verse. It's a small surah, a small verse. Subhanallah. So this is Allah Ta'ala says in this verse, that there's a place, a valley in Jahannam. The Mufassirin write in the commentary of the Quran, it's the most severe, intense heat of Jahannam there. And Allah says in the Quran that I lit this fire myself. This is my selection for the Jahannamis. Allahu Akbar. Imagine the jalal and the power, intensity in that fire. What was the sin that person committed that he went into the fire? Allah says three descriptions. This is my choice. I lit this fire. I made it intense and hot for one reason. For a reason. Subhanallah. Allah says that this will be so intense, the fire, that the fuel for the fire, Logabal, Subhanallah, the ashes coming from the fire will be like stones and pillars. And the person, when he goes into the fire, will be like he's imprisoned in the fire. So he will be imprisoned in the pillars of the fire. Allahu Akbar. And the third quality of the fire will be, that what will it burn? Allahu Akbar. Directly, the ashes of the fire and the embers of the fire will go straight to a person who's awake, like me and you are sat here now awake. He'll be awake, alive, straight to his heart. Those ashes and the embers, they will attack, piss. Then it will again, then it will enrage again, then it will enrage again. But maut will not come to that person. Death will not come to that person. What was the crime? That he did this, Allah, that he dishonored and disrespected a Muslim. He put down a Muslim. He looked down at a Muslim. He used to say, communicate people's defects and maladies to people by on purpose. You're this, you're that. Swear at them, ridicule them. Gossipmongers, some have seen such people, remember this. That in life, all life long, they could not be improved. I asked them, what's the reason? They said that in school, I was said bad was said about me. You understand? I was bullied. People, they grow up. I've seen children, they come to me that mentally I can recognize what is their illness. I can see that. We ask, and they said that I was treated badly when I was young. I was bullied, etc. And a sister, she said it with pride that when I used to be in school, then I used to hit other friends of mine. I used to hit them. Me and two, three other girls, we got together, ganged up on other children. And I've seen the result of what's the punishment Allah has given. That insan all life long cannot be corrected. That if you do something bad against someone, your mother, daughter, aunties, if you do this, you start to criticize them, disrespect them, detach your life from them and swear at them. In front of four people, you start to dishonor them. Then that person from inside, he gets finished, isn't it? That I've seen people. It's happened to them that people who are on high status, they leave the job. Why? That I can't work there. Why? That there's good salary, wages, but they disrespect me, they laugh at me, they joke against me. To ridicule, this is an extreme sin. Extreme. I remember a hadith. There's a hadith with regards to joking against somebody, mocking somebody. Mocking is the word. And this is a hadith in Bayhaqi, alhamdulillah, stated that what will be the hal? Allah Ta'ala will give weird punishment that will be meted out. That those people will be called, and after being called, that they will be taken close to Jahannam. When Jahannam will come close to them, then the doors of Jannah will also be open. They come. And you'll run, SubhanAllah, so I'm going to Jannah, I'm going to paradise. Look how Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will give punishments. Yes? And imagine the punishment for that person, that he will run towards the door of Jannah. As soon as he gets to the door will be closed. Then it'll be pushed back straight to the door of Jahannam. Then the next time the door will open again. You'll say, maybe this was someone else. So he'll run again towards the door. And then the door will be closed and it will be pushed back again. To this extent, he will not be able to do tawbah. Such a big adab for that person. Only he knows whom Allah Ta'ala forgive. That Allah gives azab like this. There are different types of adab, different levels of adab. Why? Because in the world, he used to mock people, joke against people. Do jest all the time. Always, I'm just joking. I saw him joking against someone, mocking someone. Someone's disabled or dependent. And you're joking against that person? No. Aro, if for example there's a defect in somebody, then we call him by his defect. We say, Dudda, Shudda, something. We mention him by his defect. That this person, that person, that person. We say many nicknames nowadays. Nicknames. So have you realized how big a sin it is? Have you ever done hisab? Have you opened your file, analyzed, look at the punishments, come together, let's all come together today and do tawbah. Allah has put these words into our minds. It's a big sin. Never should we criticize anyone. We won't criticize anyone. I've spoken about the child with you, SubhanAllah. The child has sense, consciousness. He is in a brilliant stage of life. He's innocent and fresh. It's not the child is a waste. No. With the child, we should have the honor and respect that can stay with the child. What do? Oh, I've seen this in the masjid, in the mosque. And we get the lesson all the time. Oh, get back. We say, get back. What do you come here to do? Get back quickly. And in front of everybody, you're criticizing the child. His face goes red and he gets worried. This is not the case. That any child has, no one should dare that he takes hold of that person. Are you ashamed, old man, that you're treating the child badly? What iman are you strengthening? Tell me. Which jannah are you trying to get into? Which hisab you are scolding and telling of the child? You've got no love, no regard. Okay, fair enough. If he stood in the line, then what's happened? What qiyamah has come? What's a big mistake he's made? Where's the proof that either you push that, shun that child away and get out of the queue? The children, can they not stand in the front stuff? Can they not? So if the child's not doing anything, he's not spoiling it for you, he's got sure understanding, let him carry on. He's not in your way. No, don't just throw the child back and to criticize the child, analyze the child. If the child has got good understanding and he's wearing libas, correct libas, he's got importance, respect for others. Do we see this or not? That, for example, when you nod your head in the road and you nod your head towards him, are you scared of saying the right thing? You say, okay, he's a child. What's happened? Today, if you tell him off, will he come to Salah tomorrow? Will he sit in Tabligh tomorrow? Will he consider the people around him good? Will he consider Mawlana Sahib as good? Will he love our masjid? And we're in that place that straight away shaitan will come. That somebody, some group has took hold of him, influenced him. Allah, I swear by Allah, I've seen such children turn away from Islam. Turn away when they don't get attention. So leave this, we used to go there, masjid. We used to get scolded and sworn at, etc. That one person's child was disabled. And I've seen this. One person's child was disabled. And then he was sat in the chair in the pram. And that person's not here, otherwise I can present him as proof. That child was put down in the prem. I used to love that child as well. He was disabled. And then he stood in the saf a little bit forward. And he was in the saf, the row behind. Until today, my ears. And in such a bad way, a person's telling him off, the child. Who is he telling off? Allahu Akbar. His father said, I'll do sabr. Why? Because my son was been given to me like this, I swear by Allah. And his father came out and he cried. And the child passed away, the poor child. So dhulam, extreme dhulam. Why do people have takabbur and pride in their hearts? The reason is, yuzakihim, we've left the path of purification. And that when we pick up the shoes of the wali Allah, we think, oh, no, death is worse. That to bow with humility in front of the wali of Allah, we think it's worse than death. We make thousands of excuses. But rather, until you don't bow in humility to the qualified teacher, you cannot be purified in the praise, in the court of Allah. And our hearts are full of takabbur and pride. So I'm giving an example in the masjid here, friends of Allah, servants of Allah, be careful, have regard, children, give them muhabbat, give them love. The person, a child, he, for example, he treated somebody good, etc., and Allah Ta'ala has elevated that person. But we tell people off, we disrespect others, disown others, let's promise, after today we'll never disrespect anyone, never disown anyone, we'll speak with love and understanding. And even now, I'll just tell you something, a recent event. Today maybe he's come to the gathering like this. The sister phoned from Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And she's going to present herself at the Rawda Mubarak of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I tell you, imagine the style. From Madinah Al-Munawwara, she's going to present herself at the Rawda Mubarak. Poor soul. The sister from Pakistan, she'd come. And she's shaking. And I said, why is it you phoned me? What's the issue? I need to go for Salah. She said, Hazrat Sahib, that I'm angry, extremely angry. My husband, he did this, he did that. And it's been so long. And I needed to come back quickly. I had to go, I don't know where he's gone shopping. Is this good? The children, I'm with them on my own. Will I be presented or not? I don't know. I said, daughter, that where are you stood? And you're stood at that place where your 1 second standing there is greater than 1,000 years of my life, oh foolish person. I cannot even imagine that I get there. Allah Ta'ala has made you stand there and you're counting your hazri, your presence. You should be grateful that Allah has given you the tawfiq that you're stood there. Allah has given you the capability to stand there. And you are doing this now? Anyway, khair, the words, the discussion after that. Alhamdulillah. So what was this? You zaki him. We make mistakes today. Shaitan comes and tries to influence. But we shouldn't think that we need to be pious and wali zawala. We don't need to knock on anyone's door. If she did not ring and speak to me, her tears were coming out. She was about to cry. She was shaking. She said, Allah, I'm grateful to you that my hazri, my presence has been saved. And she started to give me du'as. So the reason I'm saying is that if we don't go to someone qualified with the permission, we cannot do tazkiyah. It doesn't matter where a person is. Remember, Allah has made a system. There's a sheikh, a pious elder, knock on the door, say, I need to be saved, otherwise I've lost it, I need to be saved. Saying, or even shall I tell you some other incidents? So, I'm grateful, he said that my attendance was accepted, and then all of the ma'rifah and the nindistola came. Imagine then how he was feeling after that, and crying and screaming. And today is the night of Jummah, the night of Friday. And the nights of the week have passed away. We come to the peak. We see, can't we see that we, for example, standing in front of the Kaaba and walking around the Kaaba. But if we dishonor and disrespect human beings, then we are not honoring the Kaaba. So let's do dua to Allah that we can become good Muslims, solid Muslims. Don't just keep yourself to the limit of your Salah or Ramadan. Keep your inner state, wujud, pious, clean and purified. It's not that it's hard, I did dhikr in the morning, etc. Your whole life you have to work hard. You have to work hard. Yes, that if you leave the room for 2-3 days, you don't vacuum clean it. See how the dirt accumulates, dust. You go to on holiday for 3 weeks, then there's dust on everything, isn't there? Dust on everything. So morning and evening, always cling yourself to your sheikh. Attach yourself to your sheikh. You understand what I'm saying? That consider when your sheikh's not there, and you're not connected to the sheikh, then consider that your life is empty. I swear by Allah, that's how it feels. Yes, so with the niyyah, people go to the awliya Allah. I want to save myself, I need protection. That I am walking on the in the dunya, which is a house of nettles and thorns, I need total protection. Then the walis of Allah, they embrace the student. And from the examples, they take people out of the biggest of problems. So let's revive the system. Sit in the sohbet, the company of the awliya Allah. Listen to their words. Nothing else should happen. As I requested, nothing else should be there. But just to sit in the sohbet, the company of the awliya Allah, a person, an individual becomes pure, subhanAllah. This is the system of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just a few moments, you sit down, there's nothing, no taqreer, no bayan, etc. And we go, we meet the person, the sheikh, say, salam alaikum alaikum salam, sit down, and make a regular habit after that, that I'm going to go here and do ghusl, purify my body, my batin, and I get adab, I learn manners and comportment and good skills. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. It's the night of Jummah. Beautiful subject. A big sin has come in front of us. Inshallah, let's all promise to try our best that we will not criticize anyone, dishonor anybody, dishevel anybody. We will not do that. We will not swear at anyone. We will not make somebody lose out. We will not say bad. Whatever defects he has, we will hide them, and etc. And we'll explain with love. Maybe he's younger. And if we're younger and he's bigger, then we'll teach, speak to him with adab. And to the child, to the children, we should do what? Is that with love we should present ourselves with the children. That a child can come to the right path. We should have love and attraction and a good connection with the child. Otherwise the child, the children will go suddenly out of our hands. Then our tabligh will not work. When a person matures and he knows in his life, even today I can demonstrate to you, illustrate to you, because I follow this path and I know that people come to me and ask for advice, etc. Even today I can show you such an individual, I swear by Allah, that he says that I left the masjid for this reason, that they used to tell us off in the masjid. He used to tell us, I left madrasa for this reason of that ustad sahab, because he used to hit us and beat us and tell us off. He never spoke with love. 15 juz hifz, 20 juz hifz, why have you left? Oh, the teacher used to disrespect me and not help me and used to do bad against me. What answer will we give? Tell me. What answer will we give? For that reason, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us alongside the Quran, Allah said, my Nabi will give to you what? He will give you cleansing, purifying, cleaning, keep this jari ongoing. Allah Ta'ala said, the tariqah he'll tell you when he departs from the world, then in your best way, you need to continue to do that dhikr and to wash the heart and the batin. Do you understand what I'm saying? Properly you've understood? Okay, inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, recite the durood sharif.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المرسلين شفيع المسلمين دعوة ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وزوجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وأمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا قاضي الحاجات يا قاضي الحاجات يا قاضي الحاجات يا كافي المهمات يا كافي المهمات يا كافي المهمات يا دافي البليات يا دافي البليات يا دافي البليات Ya Dabiyul Balayyat, Ya Dabiyul Balayyat, Ya Hallul Mushkilat, Ya Hallul Mushkilat, Ya Hallul Mushkilat, Ya Munazzilul Barakat, Ya Munazzilul Barakat, Ya Munazzilul Barakat, Ya Rabbiyul Darajat, Ya Rabbi Undaraja, Ya Rabbi Undaraja, Ya Khairul Raziqin, Ya Khairul Raziqin, Ya Khairul Raziqin, Ya Khairul Nasirin, Ya Khairul Nasirin, Ya Khairul Nasirin, Ya Shafiyul Amrad, 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 Ya Mujibud Dawat, Ya Mujibud Dawat, Ya Mujibud Dawat. Birahmatika ya arhamar rahimin, birahmatika ya arhamar rahimin, birahmatika ya arhamar rahimin, Allahumma amin, Allahumma amin, Allahumma amin. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الله يا والنوار برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.